Hello and welcome to episode 55 of Beyond a Sermon. We want to thank you very much for tuning in to this week's episode where we dive deep into this past Sunday's sermon with our lead pastor, Shane Schlesman. Welcome again, Shane.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely part seven of Broken and Beautiful series.
Yeah, it's been a great series so far.
Definitely. And so this week was an extension of the original six-part plan. And what a great thing, because we got so many questions in on this topic this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely, quite
a few for you to sort through.
Yes. So if by chance you're tuning in and you missed this past Sunday's sermon, we want to invite you to go to the website you see on the screen here. Of course, after this program, unless you're watching it on demand, then you can hit pause and go to it now. But we've created a short link for you, as you see here, go.weag.church/bbmoney. That stands for Broken and Beautiful, of course. And that will bring you directly to the sermon page on our website, where you'll be able to watch the sermon, and then you can pick up and go ahead and restart this program. But if you're tuning in live now, we certainly hope that you'll stick around and that you'll also take this opportunity to text your questions in to Pastor Shane. They will come right here to my cell phone as we speak, and I'll be happy to take those and ask them of him live so he can answer on the spot. But even if you are watching on demand, we still invite your questions. Feel free to use the comments area on our website or on YouTube and go ahead and ask your questions, and we will pass those along to Shane so that he can answer those. So Shane, this past week was all about controlling money.
That's right. Either us
controlling it or it controlling us, either way, right?
Control for sure.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. So because we have a lot of questions, we're going to just hop right into it. And again, text yours in if you have one for Pastor Shane. We're going to start off with a doozy, Shane.
Okay.
I thought I'd put the hardest one at the beginning for you. Kind of get it out of the way, right?
Let's do it.
Peeling the Band-Aid off. So, Shane, is preaching that God always provides us as we sow gifts a highly westernized perspective in our comparably abundant wealth with while Christians struggle just to survive in some areas of the world? So certainly there's some Christians that are in a very less fortunate area and so forth. How do we reconcile that?
How we reconcile it is another question, but it is not true that it is just a westernized issue.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not true.
Okay.
It's actually the poor are being exploited around the world with a health and wealth mindset of promises from people that if I give, then I'm going to be taken care of, or I'll get so much more, creating a guilt-driven giving model. And no matter who you are, what part of the world you're in, I think the lessons that Jesus taught about money are appropriate and applicable in every culture, and certainly in ours as well. And really, in other parts of the world, would have a more direct context than we would have. Because Jesus was teaching to a group of people who were trading, animals and trading crops and fruits from the land. They weren't even all just trading currency. There are other places in the world would have a more direct context than that than we do. We're in a very wealthy part of the world, and Jesus' teaching still has direct application to us. And Jesus talked about money, as we said, more than he talked about heaven.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of truth. Unfortunately, it's not true that it's a westernized the health and wealth thing. It's poor exploited everywhere. But let me just say this. Health and wealth is really just an adaptation or a mutation of Scripture.
Okay.
It's a unfortunate man-driven, women-driven concept. It's not a God-driven concept. But God does promise those who give. In the Old Testament, he said, if you bring a tithe to the storehouse, test me on this, he said. God said, test me on this and see if I don't open up heaven and pour out my blessing on you because you take the first 10% of your earnings to the storehouse. You bring it to the church. But that was an Old Testament concept. Jesus actually praised a poor widow who gave everything and said, who gave more money? And looking in the church context and asked his followers, who gave more money? The people who were coming in giving a lot more in amount, or this poor widow who gave next to nothing, and they wanted to know the answer just as much as he was asking it.
Yeah.
And the answer was this poor widow who gave, because this was all she had.
Yeah.
She gave everything.
They gave out of their surplus.
They gave out of their surplus.
Yeah.
And so, and then Matthew 6 says, don't worry about the things of tomorrow. If seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. The mm-hmm. things that will be added to us is a promise from God that those who give to heaven, give priority, the kingdom of heaven first, those people will be taken care of. That God's got us. He has our needs. They'll be taken care of. But that's been exploited around the world, and not just in Western culture, in every part of the world, that's been exploited.
And I suppose, I'm guessing, we need to make sure that we maintain a proper perspective and blessing, that just because we give money doesn't mean it's necessarily money coming back either.
That's right. And just because we give money doesn't mean it's even necessarily sacrificial.
Sure.
It could be out of abundance.
Yeah.
It could be what's left over. It could be from a different perspective versus the priority of the kingdom and saying, God, you prioritize my money. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about giving.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what I do with my money. It's not, I mean, we focus a lot about giving, and that's probably part of the problem that we get in a bad reputation and somewhat deserve it.
Yeah.
Because we don't talk about what to do with our money. We talk about just giving, giving, giving. And Jesus talked about what to do with our money. And that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's far broader. How we even spend it, so on and so forth. Yeah, which you certainly touched on in your sermon as well.
Yeah.
Flipping the equation, which we'll get to in a moment with a question. Shane, number two is, if I allow God to have my life and trust him with my finance, then why do I still have financial issues? This was a viewer question that came in from our online campus while you were preaching on Sunday.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Thank you for that question.
Absolutely.
It's such a great question. And well-deserved, because it sure seems like when we give our lives to God that there ought to be some kind of benefit that, you know, I'm giving my money to God and yet I still have financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Like,
mm-hmm.
God, what's up with that?
Right.
I totally get that and feel that in my own life. You know, the struggle is I think somewhere along the line that we began to preach, and it's not your fault. Those who are listening, you know, I think out of a hope from us and every one of us that have, that hardship would go away. And out of a benefit of preaching from the churches of old in our lives as well, that we preach a gospel of, hey, if you give your life to God, everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Jesus actually taught a gospel that was, take up your cross and follow me. In fact, the people who were following Jesus back when Jesus was on the earth knew that giving their life to Jesus would mean losing their life. So it wasn't a great choice.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful choice that they made, but it wasn't good for the result.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus never promised us when we give him our money or when we give him our lives that hardship would go away.
Mm-hmm.
What Jesus promised instead, that peace would come in the midst of the storm, that's hardship would still be here. But in the midst of that hardship, there would be this peace that the Bible describes as passing all human understanding.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your friends are going to look at you and think you're a little crazy.
Yeah. How is this possible? Yeah.
Because
how can you behave like
your
this?
World is falling apart. You're losing your business. You're losing everything. How can you be okay? It's like, well, first, what control do you have?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Secondly, it's all God's.
Right.
So I think God's promises were never meant to remove hardship.
Mm-hmm.
God's promises were meant to bring peace in the midst of hardship.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me, there have been so many Beyond a Sermon episodes that you've basically reminded us, it's not a formula.
Yeah.
It's not a formula. And it seems like, yet this is yet another example of it's not a formula.
People formalizing, trying to make it. And hey, we're all about, in our culture, especially in the Western part of the world, we're all about scaling.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, how do we scale this thing?
That's right. I'm moving fast. I got a lot to do. Just quick, give me the formula. How
exactly.
do I do this? What's the recipe?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah, absolutely. Our next question, this also came from our online campus attendees. And a couple people actually jumped in with scenarios on this one. The question is, what do you do when you feel like it's impossible to give in the midst of hard money circumstances? And the scenarios that were given, like, One person said, like when you have a one-year-old baby and a baby due in 3 weeks and you lose your job. And another person chimed in, or like when you're trying to help support three other people.
Yeah. Really tough question.
I'm glad you're answering, not me.
No, you know, I'm glad that God is a God who goes to tough places.
He does, yes.
That's been the whole point of Broken and Beautiful, mm-hmm. is that we're all broken. We all go through hardship. We all have trials. We all have lost a job or lost everything, income. Not all lost everything, but there are people, you know, who've just gone through and are still going through the kinds of trials that would wreck anybody.
Yeah.
You know, so the answer is, first of all, there's, you know, the principles are what guide us. That if it's all God's, then if he takes my business or takes my job, if those things happen, then God's not unaware.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God who comes into the broken places of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the more broken my life is, you know, Paul said it this way, that his strength would be made perfect in my weakness. That the greater my weakness, the greater his strength is seen. That's how we see it in life, that the greater the need, the greater that we see God showing up. But we can't just, you know, formalize that either.
Yeah.
The truth is that we serve a God who comes into the broken places in life. But there are principles that guide this. You know, I mentioned the Old Testament, you know, the New Testament talks about giving from any possession or from everything that, if God gave you everything you have, then you're not an owner.
Mm-hmm.
You just manage the resources. And if you have little, then you give a little in amount. But I love the idea of saying that it's all God's.
Yeah.
And if the income-based giving was from an Old Testament principle also, but it's a really good one that carries into the New Testament, which was seek first the kingdom of God. If you decide ahead of time that I'm going to give a percentage of my income and your income is zero, well, then that's pretty easy math, you know.
Yes, it is.
You
yes.
give zero.
Right.
That's what New Testament would say. Hey, if you have other things beyond that, mm-hmm. then you can still give and you can still participate in bringing and setting the kingdom of God because it's all his anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So God, what do you want to do with it? How do you want to utilize it? But if you have nothing, then literally there is not an expectation from God that somehow you're disappointing him.
Yeah.
And I think you need to let yourself off the hook because it's not yours. If guilt is gone to a manager because it's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to feel guilty for not giving. It's God's. Mm-hmm. And if God wants you to give, he's going to give you an income. That's why you decide ahead of time to give 10% of your income or give 5% or give 20%. Whatever you and God would decide, the world teaches to give sporadically and sparingly. To give is, you know, hey, I'll give when I can, but hey, come on. You're going to give us to death here, you know, take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Or sporadically, like I feel like it today. I see a video of the hurting children and boy, it really tugged my heart. So now I'm going to give. Christian or God-viewed giving is sacrificial and systematic.
Mm-hmm.
So it has this idea that it's, first of all, it's sacrifice. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. It's not easy to give when you're in a downtime or when it's difficult or when you have three kids to support or when you have a whole family depending on you or even other families. We have lots of people in our church who have not just families here, but families in their home country who are depending on them to earn here in the U.S. and then helps provide for them. With people who are providing for their families all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a responsibility. And as a church, we feel the same way. We have over 100 missionaries that we're responsible for.
Right.
And we have churches that we're responsible for. And we have a congregation to meet their needs. But here's why I don't feel guilty about what we can do and can't do. Because God owns it all.
Sure, yeah.
But I still give sacrificially the way Jesus gives. And I don't give sporadically, I give systematically. I decide ahead of time, here's the percentage that I'm going to give of whatever my income is. From zero to who knows how much you make, you give a percentage of that. That's why we teach percentage giving, because don't feel guilty. Just say, it's all God's, and God, I feel like you want me to set this aside to give to church, to give to missions, to give to people in need. whatever that is for you, but God takes care of those people, and he enters the broken places of our world.
Yeah.
So no matter what you're going through today, God wants to go through it with you.
Yeah, it's funny how we oftentimes don't want to like allow God to see that brokenness.
Yeah.
It's like we feel like we're uncomfortable with him.
That's exactly right.
But he knows it anyway.
Yeah.
We're not hiding it from him.
Invite him in.
Yeah, yeah. Shane, I got a part B to this, which I know wasn't planned, but I feel that you can answer on the spot. I'm actually surprised this isn't coming a question, but it's you mentioning if you make nothing, you give nothing.
Yeah.
How should Christians handle debt in regards to, is it appropriate for us to give when we're, in essence, in the bondage of owing money to somebody else? Or should we be eliminating that first?
This is a personal decision that you have to come to for you. Okay. There's no chapter and verse for this.
Yeah.
But based on the principles of Scripture and all that God says about money, I think you decide to give to God what you're going to give to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus actually illustrated this. He said with the government. It's the only time Jesus never asked for money. As much as he talked about money, which is more than any other topic, he talked about money. So he never asked for money.
Okay.
Except the one time when he asked someone for a coin to illustrate his point.
Okay.
And he asked for a coin, and I'm pretty sure he gave it back. Okay, so he didn't keep it. But he asked for a coin. He said, look on one side. It says, it's a picture of Caesar. And he said, okay, so then give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's.
Yeah.
In other words, how I would interpret that, people ask me, should I give off of my gross income or my net income? Well, it's not God's fault. Of whatever government you live in, that your taxes, give to the government what you should give. Pay taxes. In whatever country you live in or wherever you're watching this from, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, Jesus said. Mm-hmm. Give to God what is God's. But predetermine in your hearts what you would give to God and give that. And even if you'd make no income, you might have provisions in your life to be able to still give. It's all God's no matter what you have. If you have no provisions and the only thing you have off your income, giving a percentage, deciding as God gives you a job, this is what I'm going to give, a percentage. And God, whatever I make, I'm going to give this. It's not like you own the 90% and he owns the 10. He owns 100.
Yeah, gotcha. All right. Well, thank you for answering that on the spot. Want to take a moment to do a couple things. One, to remind you viewers that may be watching live or even on demand later, you can text your questions into the number you see right here on the screen. And as I threw that up on the screen, something crossed my mind. Our beautiful centerpiece here.
Yeah.
The center flower might be blocking some of the
view.
It's
so beautiful. It's been distracting me too.
I'm going to pull this flower out.
Wow. There.
In the
now
process.
They can see it.
There we go. I'll put that there.
You're not
going to
put it in your ear or anything? Okay. In your teeth?
But in the process, I do want to pause. I feel like we should highlight, this isn't awesome that Shane and I and sometimes others get to do this on a nearly weekly basis. But we have people behind the scenes that pull this thing off.
And a few less people this week. So, that's why it maybe has changed a little bit.
So, Billy Joe Darden, we want to thank you so much for this, providing the centerpieces. It's beautiful, for sure. But we have folks on the tech team like Pat Bragg and Mike Dalton and Missy Brown and Nikki Kelly who make this thing happy. So shout
awesome.
Out and applause to all of them. Shane, our next question is, in light of Father's Day, since that was this past Sunday, we had a question come in from an online viewer. It's hard for a guy to let go and trust.
Yeah.
Us men, gosh, it's just something we struggle with. So this person was curious, what was your experience, Shane, as a dad that feels a responsibility to financially protect and provide for your family?
Well, my experience was this. I started out feeling like I owned it all and it was up to me. But I can tell you that every major mistake I made in life as a father or as a provider, I made it from the sense that it was on me. And it was my responsibility to take care of it. And so it's up to me. I lost a job and I'm not going home without a job.
Yeah.
And you end up making a dumb decision and taking a job you shouldn't be in or in a career you shouldn't be in or working 100 hours a week and watching your relationship with God and your relationship with your family fall apart. Those are decisions that I made as a man who took on all the responsibility and said, it's up to me. And if I don't make it happen, it won't happen.
I can relate to that. Yes.
So
Definitely.
I would say this, the more I invited God to join God at work mm-hmm. and said, God is the one who's working, I'm just joining him at work, the more I took on that paradigm shift, it shifted to being one of an owner to being one of a manager.
Yeah.
And when you're able to make that shift, you can invite God into what's happening in your life, because he's really, it shifts from you inviting him to him inviting you.
Okay.
So where I started was, I've got this. And then all of a sudden you realize, I don't got this. God, help me out here. Come on. Uh-huh, uh-huh. We all know how to cry out to God when we're in desperate need.
Yeah.
But not as many of us that need to, or at least in my experience, I haven't been as willing to cry out to God before I'm in need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough lesson.
Yeah.
And I won't spend the time telling you all the humiliating ways that I've learned that lesson,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
but there have been many. And I think if we can make that paradigm shift to say, I'm not inviting God, God's inviting me
mm-hmm.
to join him at work as one of his managers, to manage the many resources that he gives us in life. That includes not just my money, but my time, my abilities,
yeah.
my ideas, the creativity that he created me with, and everything that he gave me, the good works that he created in me. Our Latino ministry was covering this past week.
Okay.
The good works that God created in me to show the whole world who he was. He wasn't trying to show off you to the world. He was trying to show off what he can do for the rest of the world through you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big difference. And I think it was an important shift for me.
Okay, very good. Shane, we actually got a viewer question was texted in while you were answering that. And this individual would like to know, did the New Testament believers tithe?
Well, I think that's a great question. Yes.
Okay.
The people in the New Testament, first of all, were still living under the law. So when Jesus showed up, and he showed up, he said he didn't come to embondage us with the law. He came mm-hmm. to set us free with the truth that he was the Messiah, the promised one who came from God, who was promised in the law. But those who live under the law, who are under the bondage of the law, if they don't, you know, follow the 700 rules plus rules that Jewish followers were following and having to obey, they would certainly not be in good standing with God. So Jesus shows up and fulfills the law
mm-hmm.
and said that there's only one who can come, the perfect sacrifice, and Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. So yes, they were tithing.
Okay.
They were tithers. That was a teaching. That was a teaching, and it really has been a teaching of that continued through
mm-hmm.
in Jesus' time, past Jesus' time, and there's nothing wrong with that teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to stay away from it because two reasons. One is because we live in such a beautiful time of gift from God, but also because the New Testament teaches sacrificial giving and to give not out of your abundance, but to give when it hurts.
Yeah.
That's actually what New Testament giving is. So if you have a lot, you should still be giving enough to it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
If you have little, then it's pretty easy to give when it hurts, because giving something can be hurting.
Right, right.
Can be difficult. But again, whether I've buried myself in debt or I've done some mistakes, I could start today putting the kingdom of God first and begin to say, God, I'm going to decide ahead of time. And that's why I love, a lot of the teachings of Andy Stanley that teach some of these biblical principles so well
sure.
and beautifully to show us how putting the kingdom of God first can be deciding ahead of time and what that looks like.
Okay, very good. Shane, there was a segment of your sermon where you talked about we typically tend to live in a live, save, give method, and you were encouraging us to flip that. It's a decent length portion of the sermon, so I invite viewers to go ahead and watch that. But a question came from an online viewer when you were explaining that. And they asked, so if you've been used to paying bills first and there's only barely enough money to go around and you want to start giving, how do you tip the balance to begin to work toward tithing given to God first?
Yeah, it's really difficult to flip that balance.
Sure.
It's, you know, we made it sound so simple. Andy Stanley makes it sound beautiful when he says it, you know.
Just go to the next slide. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do is watch this. Ooh, cool. It's awesome. Number
Piece
three became number one.
That's right.
It's not so simple. You know, we all know what it is to live, save, give. Mm-hmm. But to flip that and say give, save, live, to give first, to save up for your future and plan ahead, but also then to live on what's left. That's a really difficult, and how, it's like we talked about it. It's so much easier to keep up than to catch up.
Yeah.
And I love that principle. And again, go listen to Andy Stanley's talks. He says it better than me. Mm-hmm. But I can just tell you, in my life, how I had to flip it too. I wasn't always living give, save, live. So I was living, and then what I would give. And I remember getting married and trying to decide, what will we give? And I found out she was, you know, giving something like 20% or something. I was like, what? Are you nuts? You know, I was just like, we cannot afford to do that. Yeah. Look at these bills.
Yeah.
Look at what we have to do. Look at, you know, you have people get married today. They have college debt. They get married in debt already. They have bills to pay. They get car payments. They have two car payments. They still have an apartment or a condo, or they've got to live somewhere. Then they have to eat. And if you're going to eat healthy, that's going to be more expensive. So, I mean, just like goes on and on and on and on. And how do you flip it?
Yeah.
I think you have to start small, but it's based on a priority. It's based on a priority. That number one, that you seek first the kingdom of God, that you set this as a priority. I'm going to decide what we're going to give, even if it's 1%, but decide. It's based on a priority, then it moves to a percentage. So I'm going to say, God's going to be given first. Start small and build up, and then lastly, progressive. So priority, percentage, and then progress it. Grow it each year. Look at what you can do this year. This is what you gave. And someday you might be shocked to learn that you're a tither. You're giving 10%.
Yeah.
Or you might be able to shock to be learned that, 10% is nothing now. I give 20%. And the amazing thing is you don't miss it. You think you're going to die without it, and Jesus somehow meets your needs.
Yeah.
It's a miracle that happens. It's not a health and wealth promise, like give it and you'll get a Mercedes. You're going to give it and it's going to hurt. It's sacrificial, but it's a priority. Give percentages and then progress that each year. Give a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and work your way. And eventually you'll be telling everybody, oh, I wish I'd have done this forever ago.
Yeah.
How God is blessing you, and you'll watch how this happens in your life, and it'll amaze you. Not just how, by the way, how God blesses you. We talk about God's blessing like it means money. The biggest blessing in my life is knowing that He's got me. No matter how much money I give or don't, God's got me, and no matter how little I make, I can lose my job tomorrow, and I know He's got me, and I've done that enough times. It doesn't happen, you start day one. Start where you're at. God always comes to meet us. He's Emmanuel, God with us, not us with Him. He's God with us. He comes to you. He came to you. He came to this earth. He came to this earth to give up everything so that you could experience what it is for Him to meet you exactly where you are and then grow from there.
So we just need to push out of our minds the shortcuts, the giant leaps, like anything else, trying to lose weight, trying to eat better, trying to...
This is a kingdom first lifestyle,
and
it takes time to switch to that paradigm. Yeah,
absolutely. Shane, our next question is very much related. It's a lifestyle question. It's related to the next question after. So I'm just going to skip that one for the sake of time and combine, because this one, I think your answer will address it plenty fine. Can you further explain the passage in Luke 16:13 about serving two masters? You mentioned something Sunday about it not being about finding a 50-50% compromise. How do we go 100% with the right master? Because I got to admit, I'm guilty. When you address this, I'm like, oh my word. Like my jaw almost hit the ground. I'm like, I've been wrestling with this sort of trying to keep this balanced scale in my own life.
Well, listen to the statement. You cannot serve God and money.
Yeah.
That's not a 50-50 proposition.
It's like, okay, well, you need money, you want a plan, you need a responsible plan, but I want to serve. Like, how do you
So it's not a 50-50 proposition. But how I give 100% is really recognizing that God owns 100%.
Okay.
And it goes back to that principle.
Sure.
And I won't rehash that, but yeah. I'll just say that in order to get to that place, God was never after our money. Mm-hmm. He was after our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has your heart, it's amazing though how much we are able to trust him with the most important decisions of life, our eternal security. We'll pray a prayer and say, Jesus, I want you in my life, and I want to have all of you, and I will give you a whole life, and I want to follow you, and I go to heaven, but I'm not sure about trusting you with my money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, it's not a 50-50 deal. This isn't, he gets 10 and I get 90, and I'm so, and the generous ones are the ones who give 10 or something.
Yeah. In the online campus on Sunday, when you mentioned that,
yeah.
We trust God with eternity, but we were like, tweetable.
Yeah.
It was a very worthwhile statement
to get
in our heads.
Again, Andy Stanley says it better than me,
Andy.
Tweet him.
Good job, Andy.
Yeah.
And I've got something to let viewers know about Andy Stanley's series as well coming up. But I want to keep going with our questions.
Sure.
Shane, you made a statement as well. The moment you think you own the stuff is the moment that it owns you. This viewer would like to know, how can I reconcile that statement with the need to responsibly plan, save, and even increase assets?
Jesus was not against saving.
Okay.
He talked a lot about taking care of those and you provide for and all that. All of that was how we plan. But he in his story, and you can go in the Gospels and read the story of when Jesus talked about the person who did plan ahead and who was blessed because of it. I mean, you read all through the story, story after story after story. Joseph is a great story of that. Because of his great planning, God elevated, used his wisdom with money, used his wisdom. And here's a guy who had nothing, but he knew what to do with money.
And where can people find that in the Bible, if they're curious?
Genesis chapters 35, I think, through, that's a tough test.
Sorry.
Genesis.
Just go to the Bible.com app and just put in Joshua, right?
Anyway,
later part of Genesis.
But Joseph's story in Genesis is a great story of someone who had nothing but had great wisdom with money. And he was elevated to be second in command of all of Egypt because of his wisdom in looking at a crisis. But guess where the wisdom came from? It wasn't business school.
Mm-hmm.
He was in prison before that, so definitely not. And not the kind of prison where you can get education, okay? This is like the dungeon.
Yes.
And he gets elevated to this position because God gave him the ability to hear him through a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all about God getting us and us learning to listen to what God is saying. So I think Jesus told the story, you know, of the rich young ruler who stored up treasures here on earth. And yes, he's rebuked in that story, but not until he begins to look at all that he has and think, how much more could he have?
Mm-hmm.
And so greed rises up in us, and learning how to self-control, we buy things all the time that we can't afford.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And that is the rich young ruler looking and saying, I'm going to keep getting more and more and more and more, and it's never enough. And Paul talked about being... I've been learning to be content with little or with much, but really self-control comes from the Holy Spirit. So that's a gift that we're given if the Holy Spirit is guiding us in our life and we're listening, like Joseph, listening to God and interpreting this vision and how to work with wisdom in your finances and for him, for the kingdom that he was serving.
Mm-hmm.
For us in our own lives, the Holy Spirit giving us self-control to say, man, I want that. And we need to include God in our decisions for more than just crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We need to include God in our decisions for our regular daily lives of what I should buy or what I shouldn't buy and whether I need that or don't need that. God, it's all your resources. What do you want to do and how can I utilize that for the kingdom? Let God leverage everything in our lives for the kingdom.
Okay, very good. And I want to thank a viewer. So they're not only asking questions, they're helping out with factual information,
too. Oh, good.
Too.
Good facts.
Joseph, Genesis 39 to 50.
Awesome.
So
thank
there we
you.
Go.
I was in
thank
the range.
You
I was in the range.
You were right there.
It was close.
I couldn't pull
it off. I knew 35
so
wasn't right, but it
you
was
even
close.
Said Joseph, and I called him Joshua like a minute later.
Thank you so
it
much.
It was Joseph who saved up grain for how many years? 7 years?
7 years, yeah.
Yeah. Good for Joseph. Shane, our final question I want to ask you, do you could provide a summary for everybody who may have missed the sermon, even if you got it? What were the two challenges? Yep. And do you have any advice or experience with particular practices or tools to accomplish those challenges?
Yeah, let me rattle off these real quick.
Sure.
I wrote these down. First of all, the two challenges were keep track just for the mm-hmm. summer. Take the summer, keep track, and give first. Those
challenge
are the two
one.
Challenges.
Yep.
Keep track, number one. Start tracking your finances just for the summer. And you say, I already know that. I have online. Being able to get access to how much money you're just spending where is different than mm-hmm. actually tracking where your money's going. So track your money. However, you can do that on a pad of paper, or you can do it in an app. There are lots of great tools for that. Mint.com.
That's a great one.
Our seminar last night by Simon Woon. Shout out to him. Thank you.
Yeah, Simon.
It's a great financial planner who came and shared with us. Mint.com, mm-hmm. Wally.me, YouNeedABudget.com. That's pretty easy to remember. YouNeedABudget.com. So this really goes great with keep track. If you're really a detailed person, here's the three that I've used.
Okay.
If you're really a detailed person, Quicken is like great, like really gets into some detail.
Yeah.
You like to really look at all the numbers and percentages
and nitty gritty
of everything and get pie charts on everything in life. If you're moderately that, Every Dollar is a mm-hmm. great app mm-hmm. that works, and from Peace University. And so I think that's a great app. And then that's more of a moderate. And then if you're really casual about it and you're just starting, and most banks have an app, but going on and actually tracking it and putting in each category and looking at it weekly, or looking at it at least monthly, mm-hmm. but weekly is better, at what I'm spending in each category, so I see what I'm actually doing. So keep track for the summer. And the second was give first.
Okay.
So decide ahead of time and an amount. I prefer a percentage. I think that's biblical and a good practice, mm-hmm. because no matter what doesn't matter what you're making, it goes up with you or down with you. But decide a percentage ahead of time of your income that you're going to give, and then give it out of your paycheck first, every single paycheck. If you get a paycheck once a week, twice a month, once a month, give when you get paid, give right away.
Yeah.
Just for the summer, try it and see. I don't think we're going to have many reports of people coming back and saying, it crushed me, it killed me. I missed it tremendously. Mm-hmm. I think the opposite will happen. Mm-hmm. And so let's try it together as a church. Keep track and give first. Let's do it together.
All right. Very good. One other resource that you gave for folks during the sermon was Andy Stanley's 3-part series
yes.
called Money Talks.
Yes.
We actually created a playlist on our YouTube channel.
Awesome. Thank you.
With those three videos. We have a link to it on our website. WEAG.church. This is the sermon page that you see on the screen behind us. So again, you can go to go.weag.church/bbmoney. It'll take you right to the sermon page. Just scroll down. You'll find the link to that playlist.
Awesome.
We also have some other resources there for you, some study plans that are offered up by Life.Church's YouVerse Bible app. And mm-hmm. we'll get the links to these tools that Shane just mentioned. And if you've got a favorite, use it in the comments area. We're all here to lift each other up, help one another out.
And there's so many more series. That was
Absolutely.
Just one of the latest. So
So please feel free to comment and help out with maybe a tool that you found that really worked well for you and so forth. We'd love to hear it.
Absolutely.
And then we want to give a reminder as well that this coming Sunday, you'll get the last part of Broken
yes.
and Beautiful. What are you going to be talking about?
We're going to be diving into addiction.
Okay.
Whether you're struggling with addiction yourself personally, or most of us know someone, mm-hmm. whether in your family or a friend that you've gone through, and it's so difficult to walk through this. And obviously we can't handle it all on Sunday.
Yeah.
We're gonna dive deep into the brokenness of addiction and how God brings beauty in our lives and how God meets us in these broken places, not just for you, but for your family members, for your friends. And then Monday night, we're gonna do a focus group in our workshop will be Dr. Dave DeMasters, our counseling pastor,
nice.
Who will be walking through people what to do when you're walking with someone through an addiction, talking about the really tough issues of like, well, what do I do? I mean, how far down the rabbit hole do I go, and how many times, and how difficult this is, and how do I have boundaries in my own life, and all of that for people who are struggling with this. So it's a great marriage in that. And of course, as every week, send in your questions for us, and we'd love to answer them
Absolutely.
Then on Beyond a Sermon.
Yeah, so weag.tv, if you can't be on site, please join us online, 10 a.m. Sunday for the last part of Broken and Beautiful. And then I want to encourage you as well, this is the link to our YouTube channel, go.weag.church/YouTube. Please subscribe there and you'll be alerted to when we post the new sermon and the Yonah sermon and so on and so forth. So Shane, thank you very much.
And you know what else starts though next Sunday is, on Monday, is Lift Up RVA.
Lift Up RVA, absolutely.
So we're gonna be serving our city together, West End Assembly of God. We're inviting everybody to join us, so come join us that week. Yep. And it's gonna be a great week starting a week from yesterday. We'll be at Quioxin Middle Monday and Tuesday, Belmead Park downtown Wednesday through Saturday, and we'll just be serving our city together. So love to have you join us at Lift Up RVA.
And we're going to have some special live broadcasts related to that. So be sure to follow us on Facebook and on YouTube.
Awesome.
So thank you very much for watching. Please forward this to a friend as well. You never know whose life you might change just by a simple share. Thank you very much. Have a blessed week. Thanks,
Shane. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.